back. WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively into the football offseason, but very much the conversation in season here. Don Mahler joins us now. He is a former Baltimore County executive and my high school guidance counselor at Dundalk High School, state runner-up of football this year, much to the chagrin of myself, but to the pleasure of our mayor, Brandon Scott. Don, you know, we spend a lot of time here talking about jobs and the job force and people getting into the job force and being able to support themselves and making the country a better place. This is one of the ones where you, as the executive producer, have brought us a guest with some interesting topicality today.
Well, it's one of the things, Nestor, that we love about Baltimore Positive. A couple months ago, I was out at an event and someone came up and said, "Hey, I love what you guys are doing. You're telling great stories about all segments of Baltimore and things going on in the state." And he said, "You got to get Gary Officer on there to talk about the Center for Workforce Inclusion. They're doing great things, particularly with older workers and training older workers. It's the kind of story that we like to tell." So
I'm an older worker.
There you go. So we welcome Gary Officer, the CEO of the Center for Workforce Inclusion. Welcome to Baltimore Positive, Gary.
Thank you so much, Don. Happy to be here.
Hey, Gary, first thing we notice is you ain't from around here.
No, I ain't from around here. I was actually born in the UK of Jamaican parents.
Oh, that means you ate well. That means you had really good food if you had Jamaican parents.
Absolutely. Mom was a great, great cook. And I've lived in Chicago, Boston, D.C., worked in Baltimore. But I've always had this fascination and love for cities because I grew up in a great city. And when I look at cities, I feel the vitality of a region. It captures the essence of a community. History and culture are embedded in the DNA of its people. So I have a love affair with cities, and I have a love affair for Baltimore. And I think my work today is a continuation of that interest in making sure that Baltimore becomes a successful American story again.
What is the Center for Workforce Inclusion? I see that behind you. That's the title. I know you've worked in other places. I was going to kid around and say, when this journalism thing dries up, I'm going to need a new gig. I would need somebody like you to retrain me, right?
I will tell you this. So the Center for Workforce Inclusion, we're in 34 states. We speak the truth to workforce injustice. We believe that an equitable and just society is premised on our ability to create real opportunities for marginalized groups to realize their potential in the local workforce. We target Americans who are 50 and over. We target those who have aspirations, dreams, and desires to get back into the workforce so they can support themselves, their families, and their communities. That's who we are.
I think we've had a lot of pressure in our society to have moms stay home, raise families. Then there comes a point where the world changes, right? Whether you were, whatever you did 10 years ago in any capacity, any gender, anywhere you are, that job or that skill set has had to either emerge, change, because the world has changed. And I think that would be the hardest part of trying to be out of the workforce or come back in or make a major change. And I know I saw some stories here during COVID that a lot of people, and one of the issues about employment and unemployment is so many people have changed what they consider their vocation to be.
That's very true. And it's a multi-layered observation. I can't get into all the details of that, but let me summarize. What COVID-19 has done, it has accelerated our journey into the future. Because many of us knew that technology will transform the nature of how we work and how we interact. 2 years ago, Don and I had no idea what Zoom was or is. Now Zoom is part of our everyday speak. Now people are working at home on this platform. So technology has transformed the nature of work. COVID-19 has also transformed the nature of work. Because in some income categories, you walk downtown, you go into a parking garage on Charles Street. 2 years ago, you'd have a dozen people working on three levels. Now you might find six. You walk into a high rise downtown and you walk into any of the floors upstairs. Those floors are empty.
I know. I just sold my place next week, courtesy of Moeller and Gary.
There you go.
I live downtown. So, yeah, I mean, and I think we see the I think the real issue here is when all this is over with, what's the world going to look like? What's downtown Baltimore? What are these cities, these things that used to be offices or used to be residences or used to be commercial storefronts? How does that evolve and who works there? That would be the question. How do we get commerce back? And it's going to involve people changing what they do and job skills and probably a change of philosophy in a lot of ways.
We're going to have, yes, that's a great point. So no one truly knows what the future will look like for cities. What we do know is that it's going to be different. If you have 80% of the workforce that can now work from home and may go into the office 2 days a week if they so choose, then what is the purpose in paying for real estate that's not used? So then we get into a conversation about reuse. The city has become a place where you might start seeing major commercial buildings become a hybrid of mixed income with some workforce be a part of that. Where we start seeing restaurants change their business model. Some have already, some have shut down and given up. So no one truly knows what the hollowing out of the cities will look like as a consequence of COVID. You spoke about what work will look like. One of the biggest factors, biggest issues in the workforce today is how are we effectively training vast populations for new jobs that requires a higher level of technological proficiency?
Well, we think about that with kids, right? We talk so much about children and it's important in yes. schools and we're under the COVID and all that. But what happened, the productivity of people over 50, and we still have a lot to give. I'm 53, so I'm like you. I'm in the AAR group here that they're targeting me. But the over 50 group, we say forgotten people, and in other cultures, yes. we value older people like Don for their wisdom and their influence and all that. But then there's the real part of being productive in a world where, 15 years ago, I remember taking people a little older than me. So I'm 40. Let's say people that are a little closer to Don's age, maybe they were in their 50s at the time, and showing them a phone and saying, this isn't a phone anymore. This is your computer now.
That's
and
correct.
Getting through the ideology and seeing that. But that's for people that can afford phones. You're talking about people feeding their families, and maybe
right.
they worked at a plant 15 years ago, and I'm from Dundalk, or maybe they had a job in an office, or maybe they had a job in an office in security that's no longer an office, or whatever it would be.
Right.
To retrain those people, that's at the core of what you do.
We have to massively invest in workforce development at the level that's comparable to our global partners. As a country, we invest about 0.2% of our GDP on workforce investment. Singapore invests 1% of GDP. The Europeans, half of 1% of GDP. Unless we are willing to invest in our populace, unless we are willing to invest in training that will prepare our people for the jobs that are being created, we will be left behind relative to our competitors. That's one. Two, and this is a very important statistic. Last year during COVID-19, during the peak of COVID-19, between March and May of last year, unemployment went from 3.7% to 23% in 4 months in the US. In that same period, 5% in Germany, 4% in Britain, Singapore maintained full employment because they were able to continually reskill and upskill their workforce so they can be resilient if they were to be confronted by a major existential threat. That's where we have to be. Because if we're not, we will be left behind. The other thing to consider, while I'm on my soapbox here, is we are the only country in the world that's spending huge amounts of money on stimulus packages. Think about that. The Germans haven't, the Brits haven't, the Canadians haven't, we have. Why? Because we have not maintained a level of investment over time to ensure that our populace have the skills to work through these kinds of changes in the job market. That's a major issue too.
Well, hey, Gary, this is fascinating. And again, I am so grateful that we have connected with you to tell this story. One of the things we try to do for our listeners is to really put a face on particularly what's happening in the nonprofit community, yes, because we've tried to focus on the good work. And it is a Baltimore Positive story. Yes. So someone is out there listening now. I mean, I've looked at some of the numbers. I think you're up around a half a million people that you've trained, 100% of whom live at 125% below the poverty level. 55% were at a risk of being homeless. Yes. 12%, I think, were formerly incarcerated. All populations over 50 that we're trying to address. Sorry. Put a face on it for us. Take Joe or Joan Smith, who's someone sitting at home now is thinking about, boy, my friend Joan could really benefit by connecting with the Center for Workforce Inclusion. Tell us how they connect with you. And then once Joan has made that connection, what will happen to her? Can you put a face on it for us?
I can. So Joan came in to move to Baltimore from Cleveland. She's a nurse. And she decided to move because her future husband was from the Baltimore area. And she wanted to build a new life in the city. Joan suffered a back injury at work and can no longer work on her feet for 8 hours a day. Joan is now looking for a job. Joan came to Baltimore. She has no friends. And all she's looking for is an opportunity befitting her skills and background to remain in her chosen profession. Joan has tried and tried and tried. She's 57 years old. And culture prevents her from being hired because employers no longer see worthiness in her. So the first check mark is culture. So Joan's now desperate. She discovers our program through a nonprofit somewhere in the city, and we talk to her. But guess what, Don? Our program only serves less than half of 1% of the total population that's eligible. So now we've got to find a way of getting her into the program where there's no access. So Gary's making phone calls around the city. He's calling Don Fry, the GBC. He's calling all his corporate friends. Listen, folks, I need some money. I've got to get more resources into our organization so we can provide on-the-job training for Joan, given what her skill levels are, and then connect her to an employer willing to hire her. Because there's many Joans out there, people who are skilled and willing. Because someone is low income and older, it doesn't mean they lack qualifications. They lack access. So we try to bring folks in wherever we can, train them, and train them often with our nonprofit partners. And then at the back end of a limited time on our program, we make referrals to employers.
Gary, is the training, and again, fascinating and so much needed. Is the training customized to each participant, or is it a generalized off-the-shelf training program?
It varies. And it varies because we work with nonprofit partners who have different kinds of needs. So some will invest a lot of time in providing customized training because that's the needs of that particular institution. For others, it's more generic. But for many, this is the key point. For many, just being back in the workforce changes their mindset. Confidence is restored. Hope is renewed. And whatever they can gain from us, they can take on to the next opportunity on a more permanent basis.
Do you have capacity issues? And I guess what I mean by that is, are you limited as to how many folks you can serve at one time?
So we are funded through the federal government through a program called the Senior Community Service Employment Program. In Baltimore City and Baltimore County, we have about $1.7 million invested through that program, which we designate to that region. And we serve about 300 older residents a year in the city and in the county. As you and Nestor are very familiar, Baltimore's needs go way beyond 300 people. So we have to mobilize our resources. Shows like yours allows me the opportunity to tell the story and to issue a call to action to your audience and those who have resources. That the more resources we have, the more people we can serve.
Well, we certainly appreciate you taking some time to come on today and educate us about this. And I think, you know, for people, and I love when we bring people on who don't have Baltimore accents like me and like Don, although Don's is more extreme than mine.
Don's got a serious accent, man. I pick it up right away.
It's West Baltimore. They open their
You can't even hide it.
Gary, it's a mess, West Baltimore.
And I've worked very hard over the years, but you know what? It's just there.
I can't hide it.
Well, you're having a hard time hiding yours as well. For Baltimore and for you having traveled and been at other places, what do you love about Baltimore? I mean, I think Baltimore's such a unique place, but I only see it through my Dundalk eyes. You know, Don sees it through his Edmondson Avenue eyes, and we always see it the same way, and we've seen it evolve and change and, you know, get better and worse in various ways. But for people that helicopter in and come in from some other place, I would think you look at it and say, it looks a little bit like Europe. You know, when you're down in Fellsport, it has a physical difference about it, right?
Yeah, there's tremendous civic pride. In spite of Baltimore's challenges, there is tremendous civic pride among its populace. And that's really important as you try to think through what you can become when you're grounded by that level of pride and connectedness to your identity. That's essential. But as someone who's a bit of a historian from the outside, this is the city of Thurgood Marshall. It's the city of Frederick Douglass. It's the city of Johns Hopkins. It's the city of Eddie Brown. There's tremendous talent and history in the city. And how we can take those, that grounding and the successes that comes with these iconic figures and use that to inspire the next generation of Baltimoreans. That to me is the opportunity. And my passion in speaking the truth to workforce injustice is because I want to help people visualize a tomorrow that they haven't seen. And that tomorrow is premised on the best of what you were 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago.
Don, well, Gary's had a proper Maryland crab cake. Do you think he has?
I think you're going to have to get. Let's ask Gary. Have you had a proper Maryland crab cake?
I have had a proper Maryland crab cake.
Good, good, good. We try to have one a week around here, and we go to different places. It's kind of our shtick with the Maryland Lottery. So at some point when we take the masks off and we get out and we do some berm eating and we move around the city and find some local new black-owned businesses and different things we're going to be doing in May, maybe you might want to come down for a crab cake.
In the summer, there's a place called Jimmy's, which is in East Baltimore.
We know Jimmy's. I'm from that side of town.
And I consider Jim's to be my office. So my staff will often know that the certain meetings I have.
Hey, there you go. Hey,
we're
Gary.
We're going to stretch you out and move you around town. What we're going to do for you, Gary.
Before we let Gary
get from that.
Before he gets back to work, I'm hoping that people out there now have been inspired. They're thinking of folks who would really benefit. They love the mission. They love the vision. How do they find out more? And how do they get involved if they want to get involved with your organization?
They can call me directly, 301-547-1808. They can visit our website at www.workforceinclusion.org. We welcome all supporters because we want to serve more people.
I love that you're serving over 50 and said that slowly for people like me so I can write it down. So I appreciate that, Derek. Hey, it was Gary, great to visit with you. The Center for Workforce Inclusion, Gary Officer joining us here, and of course, former Baltimore County Executive Don. Don, we have so much going here with journalism this month, right? I mean, we have football playoffs, but we're talking about the banner and talking about the sun and talking about the future and talking about crab cakes. So we're mixing it up here into the new year.
I want to say this to both of you. It's such an important platform to speak positively about the city it's people, and what brings us together. I've done many of these shows around the country, but you seek to give people a sense of passion and a passion to believe in themselves, embrace their cities, and to see opportunities that may exist around them. So well,
Gary, thank you for that. There is no doubt that despite our accents, that Nestor and I do indeed love Baltimore City, and a lack of passion is not something that anyone has ever accused either one of us.
Gary, I'm looking behind you. I'm seeing Good to Great behind you. I've read all those books too, so that's good. You know, that's what we try to do around
here. Let's get the right people on the bus, right? Isn't that what James Collins said? Let's get the right people on the bus. Folks, get on the bus with Workforce, Center for Workforce Inclusion. This is what we love about Baltimore Positive.
For Don Moeller, I am Nestor Aparicio. All of our Wise Conversations brought to you by our friends at Wise Markets. We're going to be getting back out. Luke is monitoring all things Orioles, Terps, and Ravens. All of it brought to you by our friends at Royal Farms. Real fresh, real fast, making me hungry for the tasty chicken. I mentioned Burks the other day and onion rings. That makes me think of Royal Farms and fried chicken. So there, have at it. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. And we never stop talking Baltimore. Positive.